allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Aye.
Quorum present?
Okay. Our first item of business is the consent agenda. It's to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent agenda be placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. Today we just have one item, approval of the August 11th commission meeting minutes. There should be an addendum to that. In that minutes it says that Commissioner Grunch was here. However, I was at the University of Michigan Hospital at that time, so I was not present, so.
I corrected those.
You did correct it, okay. Ask for approval.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business is hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes, and please identify yourself if you wish to speak. Mr. Dow.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor.
And Mr. Grove.
Mr. Grove. And commissioners. Thank you. My name is Mike Dow, and I'm Bob Grove's partner in ownership of that new open space. We call 475 Lake Street. I partner with Bob in that project, at least partly because I cannot stand that darn fence any longer. So when the opportunity presented itself, I jumped in and didn't hesitate to get involved with Bob. Can I tell you how many city residents have said to me how much they appreciated Bob and I purchasing the property? It's been a very satisfying experience. For those of you who have not met, I want you to know that my wife and I have been coming here for over 40 years. We were early owners of the Landings condominiums. We now live full-time on Lake Charlevoix, just the other side of Horton Bay. We love Boyne City for our friends here, for its great small-town services, and first location on the waters of my favorite lake, Lake Charlevoix. Since the purchase of the 475 Lake Street property, I've learned of the 2006 Boyne City Master Plan, which is a complete look at the city, including its waterfront. A key point in this plan, in this 2006 plan, was a full view look of emergency services all moved off the waterfront. I'd like to think that the addition of 475 Lake Street adds a new dimension to the entire waterfront picture. One can now see the amazing potential of a completely open waterfront, all the way from the Boyne River to the boat launch at the Landings condos. Bob and I want to appeal to you to take a new and hard look at your lakefront potential. Although it is late in the process, I suggest it is not too late. It is last minute, but there's still time. Let's work on a new effort to find a great location for your much-needed new emergency services facilities. We do appreciate that it would be really hard to now change direction and consider moving these facilities, and we recognize that accelerating this timetable is most important. Bob and I, along with other local residents who have contacted us, want to assist the city in any way we can to find another suitable location. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do the right thing and to give the entire waterfront to the people of Boyne City.
I think Mike keeps hearing the same thing from me. He's probably getting tired of it. I keep telling everybody I'm not used to having a partner. And now I got a partner, and it's a little bit different situation. I'm used to having my own shop. But Mike and I, we were on the same page. When we first got involved in this, neither one of us had to twist each other's arms to get involved in the Lake Street process. We wanted to both do something. I think we both saw the same opportunity, and it was a point in time where we just didn't think it was going to happen. It was a very complicated long process that nobody knew we were working on. We couldn't tell anybody. Mike and I both also agree that the city does need new facilities badly. And new city facilities are a source of community pride, and the city should have that. City workers should have that. Our only concern is the location, and we think things have changed now. And I didn't really realize that until I was given a copy of the 2006 master plan, waterfront master plan. I was given that just before, I was pretty busy, I've been busy, and I was given that just before I left on my vacation, and I had 2 weeks to look at that, and I read it from cover to cover, upside down, and it's a good plan. There's a lot of things in there that I disagree, but it brings up some really good points. And there's some changes now that weren't here, you know, 6 months ago. You got the Lake Street property, which if you read the master plan, it really, there is a big effect on the lakefront of Point City. You got the situation with the playground. That's going to change things. And then the new pavilion. I'm not a city planner, but I'm very interested in city planning. I lived downstate 30 years ago. I was on the Pinckney Planning Commission for 8 years. Really enjoyed that. Learned a lot. And I've always been interested in city planning. I've done a lot of traveling. I've seen the things that really increases quality of life in cities and communities. And in the same token, I've seen things that detract from the quality of life. I just think the same with Mike. There's just a real opportunity here. And we've been contacted by some very, I think, intelligent citizens, people that are some that live in the city, some that don't live in the city. And we've heard some ideas that I'm sure that the city commission has not heard of or thought of. And I think this should be revisited. I don't think it's too late to integrate the new park with the playground situation, the Lake Street situation, the new city facilities. All that works together. And it's not a matter of making a mistake. It's whether or not can you make a better decision and put it all together some way better. There's some very interesting ideas out there that I know that people have not heard. And this is not the place to discuss that, but we'd like to, you know, establish some sort of a meeting with the city commissioners and discuss some of these good ideas. The other thing I wanted to tell you we brought up was Mike and I, we've been involved with some first-class land acquisitioners. I've been involved with the Dilworth, which was a very difficult situation, and then also this Lake Street. There are some potential sites in the city that are available that, you know, Mike and I and other people think that are better sites for part of the city facilities, and we would like to be involved in that discussion. We don't think it's too late.
One last thought. It's almost impossible to turn the train around, and I recognize that. But it's a once in a lifetime opportunity just to open this waterfront. I think if you take the position that we have to move this, then there's a place back. It's much easier, and it's where you are, and it's where the city and where the planners are right now, that it's all set. We've gone through the planning, and it'd be difficult to make a change. But we think you ought to take one last whack at it.
We'd like to sit down and give you some interesting ideas.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I would, myself personally, I'd be open to have this discussion with both you and Mike, and also maybe one other commissioner involved. We do have the Freedom of Information Act and forum issues to deal with, so not more than two of us could meet with you at any one time, but I would certainly like to lead into that discussion with you, and, you know, we do have time, and the new look, I think, is a very valuable approach to working on this, and We're certainly open to discussion.
Thank you.
And we don't have any financial interest in this. We're doing this because we love our community.
I know. You've certainly demonstrated that, and we're most appreciative, too. And so the community, and again, we thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have anyone else in the audience that wishes to bring a discussion or comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, we'll move forward with our next item of business, correspondence. I do see we have some advertisement here for the upcoming MML convention. And other than that, I do not have any additional correspondence. Do any of the commissioners have anything that needs to be shared with the commission? Okay, moving forward, city manager's report.
Yes, a few items. At our last city commission meeting, the commission approved a bid to have fencing repaired at the wastewater treatment plant. During that approval, Commissioner Sampson asked if it was eligible for insurance, and we said that we would check into it. We did, and it was. Yesterday, we received a check for $1,480 from our insurance company towards the approved cost of $2,480. And so that's the amount we received is less our $1,000 deductible. We've got a lot of things going on right now. The DPW facilities, the business park stormwater improvement project, and the course reconstruction project are all now underway and continue to move ahead well. And I encourage you to go and check those out if you haven't done so lately. I have met with the two area residents that were present at our last meeting concerning who expressed additional concerns regarding water on the Division Street area. Considering their issues and their ideas as we work to uncover the previously abandoned storm water structures north of Division Street. The DPW crew since our last meeting have unearthed one additional one, but due to high groundwater and the proximity of the road, we're proceeding with caution as we work to uncover the other two or three. The city and I, city attorney and I met with representatives of Parkview Apartments to further explore their request for a pilot and related issues. We expect to report back to the commission sometime in September after further discussions on that. In this room on last Monday, the Planning Commission met and approved revised plans for CAT Development's South Lake Street project, reusing the old Lake Street Mall and the bus garage building at their current heights. They will not be multi-story buildings as was originally proposed. Our water superintendent, Mark Fowler, reports that some 60 new water meters have been installed by our personnel since March 1st, with 40 of those being installed in the last 2 months. We're hoping to pick up the pace and have some 200 installed by the end of the year. We have about 1,200 that need to be converted. We'd also invite you to check out the new capabilities on the city's website and our new internet access for viewing tax and utility bill information. That's now available online. We anticipate the other part of the approval recently given by the City Commission to allow our customers to pay online or by credit card payments here at City Hall to be available by the end of September. We have three members of the Boyne City team that are participating in the Leadership Charlevoix program this year, which starts later this week. Barb Brooks is participating as a student or participant in the program, while Cindy returns as a program mentor. And I'll be trying that role for the first time this year as well, too. So, we'll keep you posted on that as it goes through the coming months. Our end of summer, and I hate to use that term, but our end of summer rubbish collection program resumes on Wednesday, September 2nd for 3 weeks through Thursday, September 17th. Complete schedules and information are available here at City Hall and on our website. It's following the same Wednesday, Thursday program schedules that we have in the past. Again, this will be our second round using the complete services of the contractor from American Waste versus a combined with our city personnel. Also, it's hard to believe is that school starts on September 8th. So as you're working your way around town, especially in the morning when school's getting in or letting out, give yourself some extra time to get around town, and please drive safely and watch for our pedestrians and students going back and forth. Obviously, with school starting on the 8th, we actually have this week on Thursday the first JV and varsity football games that will be taking place as well over here at the local field. The third Boyne on the Water public participation session will be held the evening of Tuesday, September 15th, in the High School Performing Arts Center, and that will be starting at 5:30 p.m. That date has been bouncing around a bit for the last, pretty much since they were here in July, as we tried to find a date that didn't interfere with some other major city activities, and we believe we found one and are keeping our fingers crossed. I would like to wish everybody a very safe and enjoyable Labor Day weekend, and if you have questions on other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions from the commission?
A couple of questions, I guess. The hazardous waste pickup is also coming in September.
Yes.
And we might want to designate the dates of that.
We will as we get closer to it.
Oh, okay. All right. And then the other question on the Boyne on the Water, that was moved then from what the original card was to a different date? Because it was coming up this Wednesday on the card.
Yes.
That they originally
put out. I don't remember that there was another card that was put out on it or the one that had multiple dates on
it. It was the one with the multiple dates.
Yes, that date has been changed.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, moving forward, reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have the July 15th financial statement. Do we have any questions from the commission? No.
No.
Okay. And the next item of business is the old business. Second reading, consideration of the second reading and adoption of the proposed ordinances dealing with city parks in general and the Veterans Park Pavilion, respectively. And I believe, Andy, are you handling that? Or Mike?
I got it.
Okay.
Basically, we brought this back to the City Commission for a second reading. We've made some changes that were requested by the City Commission on the ordinances. The Police Department and the Parks Department also have a good look at it and recommended some changes which have been appropriated. And there's also some changes, I guess, that were requested by the City Attorney upon his review. And those were all included in the ordinance. So, any other questions? Please proceed with the second reading.
Mike?
As the commission may recall, when we first introduced this, we basically found that when the city's code of ordinances was codified several years ago, we found that certain sections were not carried forward as we anticipated, and two of those sections dealt with park issues. And that's what we tried to do is go back to the original ordinances that used to be on the books here. That was pretty much what was provided to the city commission when they were introduced about a month ago. The city commissioners had some comments with regards to certain issues. I think there was sunbathing and somebody taking a nap or something like that. We tried to, might have been good back when those ordinances were first created, but public standards and just the way our parks are being used are a little bit different. We've tried to incorporate what we felt were the necessary requirements and make sure that where there were requirements on camping and things like that, or prohibitions on things such of that nature, that we put in some basically workarounds that if somebody did want to come to us with a request, that we could consider it. And usually, as we do with anything that's new and different, those things come before the city commission and then staff can authorize those. So you have two ordinances that would be incorporated into our current ordinance books. Dealing with 38-1 and then continuing all the way down to 38-74. And we'd be glad to address any questions you may have on that.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any additional comments from department heads or staff? Or citizens' comments? Okay, we'll move to the board for discussion. Laura, would you start, please?
Sure. And I appreciate a lot of the changes in here. It makes more sense reading it to me. But one under 38-62, I may want to suggest that we think about changing the word shelter to pavilion, and for which it is intended instead of was. It's current and maybe not past tense. I feel it would be more appropriate there, but that's my feeling about it. The question on 38-68, the use of alcoholic beverages. I know we allow beer and wine in parks. Do we allow hard liquor in the parks?
We have nothing prohibiting them, correct?
We don't. Do we want to consider that?
We have not had any problems reacting to. In the old set of ordinances, there were prohibitions with regards to alcohol use in Old City Park.
Right.
Those basically faded away when the codification took place. Old City Park, basically when I was told back in the day when, was a little bit rougher place, and that was more of an issue. So they did have a specific ordinance dealing with, to address problems that they had in Old City Park. We have not had any problems in any of our parks that I'm aware of. The chief can address that, of any significance.
Okay.
And it really, for some of our activities that go on there, it really opens up people for responsible use of it. If we have events that in our parks, we usually make them require, if it's an organized event, like Bowling Thunder or something like that, that has alcohol involved, or like the food truck rally that the Main Street program has put on, we require people to provide us insurance on that.
Right.
But an individual coming in,
okay,
let's say somebody wanted to have a wedding down at the gazebo, maybe they want to do a toast or something like that, that would be allowed under this
event. Okay. All right.
We just haven't had a problem to react to.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if just referred to beer and wine or if alcoholic beverages included all beverages, and I just wanted to make sure that I understood it correctly.
I think it refers to all
beverages.
I haven't seen anything that differentiates us on it. Again, I would refer to the police chief and if he has any different view or additional insights.
Okay. And on the first page, it says, this gives the city manager the ability to make new rules as they become necessary for the good of the parks. Is that not with the city the commission approval? Or is that just based on the city manager being able to make new rules?
That allows the city manager to address issues that come up that we don't have a provision for. And that's something that we've had in our parks ordinance in the past. Practice has been here is that, we make sure that the commission's aware of it, and then if there's any changes that need to be taken or if they want to undo them, to do it. But if something comes up where I or a successor finds something that's taking place in a park and we don't have a rule to deal with it, this gives, without having to call us an emergency commission meeting, allows someone to deal with it on the spot and then follow up and, clean up after the fact.
Okay, just to follow up on that, though, then to say new rules, it's really making a decision for which this ordinance doesn't cover.
Correct.
So would it not be better to spell that out that way rather than say new rules? Because new rules implies that it's a permanent rule change.
So what are you suggesting? I guess I'm not following.
What I'm suggesting is say the city manager has the ability to make decisions in situations that are not covered by this ordinance. Rather than new rules. It almost sounds like you're changing the ordinance.
Well.
Or adding to it, or which maybe in essence you are, I don't know.
I think this, the way that it's interpreted, or the way it's presented here, is consistent with the language that used to be there that allowed the city manager to come up with rules that would, one of the issues that the attorney keeps telling me is that we can't deal with people discriminately, indiscriminately.
Mm-hmm.
If we do come up with a rule, unless we do away with that rule or something like that, we should apply it on similar circumstances in similar ways.
Okay.
So I guess my concern with your language would be
if
somebody's going to say, well, geez, you're just coming up with a rule just to deal with me or something of that nature.
Okay.
I want to be careful.
I just wanted to clarify in my mind what that what that entails. How often is that an issue or?
It became an issue in, over this last summer, when we had people basically moving into the Veterans Park Pavilion, which kind of reopened this whole issue and got us looking at this. So I consulted with the city attorney, and we drafted rules. They were posted. I made the commission aware of them, things of that nature. So we did have some mechanism to deal with that issue. So we could basically make sure that it was available for all the public and not just was served by a couple people.
All right. I think that answers my questions. Thank you.
Derek?
Thanks, Mayor. Just kind of follow up on Commissioner Santham. Obviously, and writing something like this, I'm with regards to the city manager, I am no way opposed to having the executive have authority to make decisions, as you stated, on a spur of the moment type thing. 38-15 already says any appeals from the city manager's decision may be taken to the city commission. So there's an appellate process in place. So, and then therefore the commission has the ability to change ordinance at any time. I believe, again, those are, I would consider those protections from an abuse of the executive who may go off the rails with this crazy decision. So there are checks and balances in place there. So I'm comfortable with that. It gives the city manager the ability to deal with things in short notice. And they would have to answer for those decisions that they did, so. I appreciate the fact they took our feedback and modernized it and brought it up to the current community standards. So at this point, I'm comfortable with the second reading.
Thank you, Derek.
Yeah.
Gene?
No, I have the ordinance over. I'm okay with the changes.
Tom?
I also support the second reading.
Okay, I also support the second reading, and I'm going to ask for a motion for approval.
Make a motion that the City Commission approve the second reading of the park ordinance.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Crunch?
Aye.
Neat, well.
Pardon? Mike? Discussion?
You had some, and I'm sorry for hitting at the last moment. Laura brought up some questions with regards to section 3862. Mm-hmm. She brought up a wording shelter that had not been replaced with pavilion. As we had tried to catch them elsewhere in the document and we must have missed that one. And then she thought the tense of was should be is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was incorporated in the motion that was made or not, or desired to be.
I thought that in his name, there was a line in there in regards to calling it the pavilion.
There is, but Laura mentioned in section 3862 that we forgot to pull out one
word
of the shelter. And that's how they used to refer it in the old version. Mm-hmm.
We need tried to extract that word.
We need to
replace
Laura's
it.
Laura was recommending that we change it to the current form, which is pavilion.
Okay.
All right. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And the other one was change the word was to is, if I correctly understood what you were saying.
All right.
Okay, so you want to amend that motion, Gene?
Yeah, I'm okay with
best suggestion.
Yeah, okay. Suggestion.
And my second will go with both those word changes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item is ACD antenna proposal. And Mike?
I provided for the commission and the public some information and communication that had transpired between myself and ACD and also our attorney on this matter, Mike Watsa, as we're continuing to try and find an agreeable solution to allow them to consider providing a distributed antenna system for telecommunications at five locations in Boyne City. Again, that information was presented for the commission for their review and the public's review and comment. There has not been much in the way of movement since our last city commission meeting on this matter. I did indicate to them that the proposed banner poles that we're looking at, or that I mentioned at our last meeting at the location of Lake and Vogel. Probably wasn't anything that we were interested in. They were fine going back to their original location. They were proposing that that would reduce the fees to $500, $500 per pole, and that was with the replacement of the poles at the traffic signal poles at the intersection of Water and Lake. So the fees are still relatively small. I did try and propose, as we're looking at the designs for the new city facility, and the proposed clock tower, seeing if the one of these towers or multiple of these towers can be incorporated into the clock tower, and have not received any type of a response on that. I have made a similar recommendation or suggestion to them with regards to a possible antenna location down by Peninsula Beach Park several months ago, and that one kind of didn't seem to be well received as well either. So this is here for the commission's information. They did request that they were hoping that we'd make some type of a determination by the end of this month. I still think there's some additional discussions that probably should continue to take place with them to see if we can come closer to this and to a meeting of the minds, and then go from there. So I guess at this point, unless there's some questions, there isn't, or a change of direction that the City Commission wishes to give me, I'd be glad to move forward with that. But at this point, I don't have any really specific recommendation for action at this point, additional action. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have on this. There also was in there some color in the agenda pack, and I can throw up here on the screen, some color renderings of some of the metal towers, poles that they were looking at, the cabinets that are associated with, and things of that nature. They thought these might be more acceptable to us. And just for my own opinion, in some locations that we're talking about where I was hoping to hide the poles in or around trees, I'm thinking the metal poles might be more, might stand out more than the wooden poles. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of wooden poles around town that have other, you know, that have consumers energy transformers on them and things of that nature. And while they're not the most attractive thing, I'm not looking to add more to those around town, they're fairly well accepted and kind of commonplace. I'm thinking in some, especially in some residential locations, some of these metal poles may stand out more than the other ones. So I know we've talked about metal poles, and that was something that they did come up with and say that they would consider possibly converting all the poles to metal poles. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure if that's an advantage for us or not. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that would be a commission determination.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any department heads or staff that wishes to comment in regards to the ACD request? Do we have anyone in the audience representing ACD Corporation? Do we have any citizens who wish to comment on the topic? Okay, we'll move to the board for discussion. Derek, would you like to start, please?
Sure. Well, as I said at the last meeting, this is a matter of trying to strike the balance, obviously follow every legal requirement that we must follow, while also maintaining the integrity of the community of Boyne City and that continual balancing act. I guess I have a question for Mike. These DAS towers, ACD is operating or indicating that they were given approval under the Metro Act agreement that we signed. Can you talk to about whether this was discussed as part of that Metro Act agreement that is in place right now? My understanding was fiber optic lines.
Correct. And that was our understanding when this matter came before the commission in July of 2014. We received a Metro Act request from ACD Communications, and they submitted some drawings with that as well that showed where their fiber lines were going to go through through town. There was nothing in those documents that I'm aware of, or that I believe our attorney on this matter has reviewed, that called out anything with regards to antennas.
Okay.
They did have something that were indicated on some of the drawings as ACD communications poles, but those were interpreted to be basically the same way they identified cable TV poles, basically places where they were going to hang their fiber.
Sure.
As they went through town. So there was nothing from the material that we received that indicated to us that there were any antennas or anything about a distributed antenna system at that point. That we learned those later.
It there's a term that's used for this. Bait and switch is the one I will use in the meeting today. There's some other terms. That's almost what the appearance is here going on, that you know, we approved fiber optic cable. There was nothing mentioned this is going to be for cell towers or new style of cellular tower, which I find dishonest on its face. Mr. Mayor, can you call it to you?
And if I can,
sure.
You were asked about the Metro Act.
Yeah.
The Metro Act, and the law that the Metro Act is based on, allows for fiber. It does not provide for antennas. They're specifically excluded under the Metro Act.
Right.
So that's another relevant point I thought might be good to mention.
Yeah, that's the interesting about this is, you know, they're coming forward saying that, well, we're going to want to put these antennas up now, and we don't want to pay you a join a franchise agreement. You know, we've already invested capital into laying this fiber. Well, my perception is that we've completed or followed through with that agreement. We've allowed them to lay their fiber. So, you know, beyond that, I guess that's up for potential further discussion. You know, had they come in right from the beginning and said, this is what we want to do, we want to put these cell towers, perhaps there would have been a little more discussion on the front end. So now we're being forced to deal with it on the back end because of omissions of information from ACD on this matter. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, we've signed that Metro Act agreement. We've fulfilled it to this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anything beyond that is something that, you know, we would want to do. Now, they came back and said, well, if we don't get this, then we're going to put up a large, up to 80-foot antenna, I believe is what I read, recollection. Again, that's threatening behavior. I'm not even sure. Has ACD submitted any information on and macro antennas that they have completed?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know if the planning department's received anything.
Okay. All right. I'm not saying they don't. I've not looked into that part of their business, but it appears their expertise, retained by the vendor, is in the laying fiber and now these small poles. You know, as far as financial compensation, I'd have to look and see what the market is across the country with regards to something like this, and then again further decide, is this something we have to allow, which appears on its face to be outside the scope of the Metro Act that we signed into. And I'm sure there's other communities around the state that are at various stages of dealing with this issue. Some may have just signed and let them put them up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some others are resisting based on the current process. So at this point, I'd say we just continue with the information that we've agreed to and then submit back. I've not seen anything where we're in violation of any law at this point at all, or, you know, if we don't find a resolution that's acceptable to the city for locations, design, and finances. And also, if I can direct back to the city manager, is it possible, they're proposing to put these out for one vendor. Are there rules or laws in place that allow another vendor to build out from these antennas? And if so, what, do we know what the size restrictions are, if any?
Yes, there's something, I believe it's under the federal standards, but I'd have to double check the source. My understanding is that the rules do encourage co-location on existing facilities once they are in. Okay. So looking at the drawing that's up on this wall where they're showing, you know, a 35-foot pole with a, you know, a node at the top that takes it to just under 38 feet, my understanding is if another company wanted to go on that pole, unless there's some way we can deal with it, that they are allowed to go up another 10 feet from the height of the, whatever the existing pole is, and then have something up at that height that's like 6 feet wide, is my recollection.
Wow. Has ACD indicated that? I'm gonna say the name again. Has ACD indicated any of this in their communications with the city that of that possibility?
I know we've raised the issue of co-location, but that was something we wanted to, you know, control and make sure that we knew what we were getting, especially in some sensitive, you know, locations. Again, you know, one of the first locations that they proposed was putting one of these towers right next to the Veterans Memorial on Lake Street. You know, we ultimately have poles there that were, you know, we had one of these metal poles up there that could have been as tall or taller than the American flag pole that was up there.
Yeah.
So I know we've raised the issue. I'd have to go back and look through the correspondence to see if they addressed it or how they did. I don't think they were too excited about us trying to limit co-location.
Mm-hmm. So with that, if you have to assume the worst case scenario,
yes,
that they're going forward and what they're, where they're at and what they could be. So. All right, I don't have anything further at this point. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Derek. Gene?
Well, the only thing I have right now, I'd like to see further information on compensation for the city. Other than that, all my questions have been answered.
Thank you. Tom?
Yeah, I think Derek covered a lot of the topics. I think our packet is communication between ADC and Mike and our lawyer, and I think that we're caught in the middle of, we're in the gray area between federal laws and state laws that are probably not up to date with the new technology. And so our job is to try to figure out how to protect our right-of-ways and possibly get some compensation. So I would, my only advice is to have Mike continue to communicate and deliberate and negotiate. And this chapter's not over.
Thank you, Tom. Laura?
Yeah, I agree with what the rest of the commissioners have stated on this whole issue. It's very difficult to say, let's put up a bunch of towers around town and just, you know, kind of disrupt your land, or skyscape is what I call it, because it has a lot of issues right now that we've been trying to bury power poles for quite a few years now, and successfully in some areas. One question that remains that hasn't been answered is if what the coverage is for each one of these poles and how much range, and they're proposing like five different poles for the downtown area, and I'd like to know what their coverage is really on that. Also, I agree, we need to, if this does, Mike needs to go through and find out some more information, and we need to kind of go slow on this whole thing because it's going to set a precedent. And so that's a real concern. And also, what is the appropriate compensation if they do end up, you know, coming in for the use of city property? So, it's a lot of concerns. That's all I have.
Thank you, Laura. I think to summarize where we're at and where we came from, too, is, you know, over the past 10 years, maybe close to 10 years, we've got $9 million worth of new infrastructure and streetscape, and to come in and propose to put some of these poles or antennas that are not originally described in the Metro Act agreement, and the bait and switch, as Derek's succinctly defined it. You know, it was just a very egregious proposal as far as undoing our streetscape. And there's a lot of alternative sites, and we've been negotiating with them for about a year, and we still haven't made any headway. So, and Mike, we just ask you to continue to keep us posted.
So, shall do.
Thank you. Moving forward, new business, Somerset Point sanitary sewer update.
So. Just for the audience's information, there's a new memo that is out on this subject that the city clerk has. I don't know if you're interested on it, but I'll be summarizing that if anybody from the media or the public would like to get some of those. The City Commission will recall that at our last meeting, we heard from several members of the public requesting that the city spread out the payments or make some other consideration in how the proposed project reserve fee is collected. Similar concerns have been expressed at public meetings held on this project. The first $550,000 of the reserve fees collected are to be paid to the city's wastewater fund to help offset future maintenance costs the city of the system the city will take over and be responsible for in the future. While the amounts after that $550,000 for the first 15 years that are collected are to help offset some of the developer's construction costs. After consulting with city staff, some affected Eveline Township residents, and our city attorney Jim Murray, who in turn consulted with attorney Dan Barron for Somerset Point, I'm prepared to recommend that we establish a payment plan for the $10,000 reserve fee that would include the following points. One, it would be for a period of up to 10 years. Two, we would charge an annual interest rate of 4%. Three, there would be an executed agreement between the parties that would incorporate these terms approved, and that would be approved by our city attorney. Four, it would be open to property owners who sign the required agreement and pay the other required fees, city connection fees and construction charges, by Tuesday, September 8th, 2015, or possibly another date the contractor needs to know by. I don't know if there might be a way to wiggle a couple more days out of it. Five, it would be open to the first 55 paid customers. And that basically takes care of our connection reserve fees. So 10,000 times 55 would be $555,000. So basically, we're dealing with our monies and not dealing with Somerset's monies. Mm-hmm. Sixth, the customer would be responsible for payment of any increase in city connection fee between now and time of turn on, prior to turn on. Every year the City Commission reviews our rates and fees. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We change our connection fees. Mm-hmm. It's always been the practice of the city that people could not basically buy connection fees in advance and then just sit on them. They were there to be used. Mm-hmm. If we're gonna allow people to pay for the connection fees now at the time and half rate as called for in the agreement for township residents, that would have to be adjusted, in my view, by any increase if one took place. Let's say somebody hooked up 5 years later. If there were any increases between that, mm-hmm. maybe $100 or $200, they might have to be responsible for that fee. Seven, the debt would run as a lien on the affected property. So if we entered into an agreement with the property owner and they wanted to pay for $10,000 over the 10 years, and then decided to move or something like that, or sell their property, we would want to make sure that, the knowledge of this was passed along to the new property owner and the obligation as well, too. Usually when people sell, they have to close out those types of expenses, but that'd be between those parties to negotiate. We just want to make sure that we're not left holding the bag or having to deal with a situation where somebody says, well, I didn't know about this type of thing. Number eight, payments would be made once a year. Talked about this with Cindy, and we just think from an administrative basis, you know, we talked about, do we take payments on a monthly basis, like people pay for their houses and things of that nature, and we just thought, if we're gonna get rid of this, you know, we would need to make sure this is minimally invasive. I mean, we're going out of our way to do this in the first place if the commission decides to go along with it. And we're thinking once a year would be an appropriate time frame and reasonable for us to administer. And nine, a person could pay it off sooner if they chose without penalty. So let's say somebody did want to pay it off early, they didn't want to pay the interest, and they came into a windfall, or they just were, whatever, 5 years down the road or 6 years down the road, or, whenever, they can pay it off without any penalty. The reason we would be doing this would be to encourage to connect to the pipe as it was being installed, so to reduce any possible issues that might come along from doing it later. Doing so would probably save the prospective customer money rather than doing it later. And I've seen estimates of $3,000 to $5,000 potential savings by doing it now at the time of the pipe going in as a savings to these people. I don't know what the actual prices would be. People, if they chose to hook up later, would be able to have their own contractor. I'm sure that would vary from place to place, but everything I've seen has indicated there'd be significant savings for doing so. Mm-hmm. So there's potential two advantages to the property owner to doing this at this time if they so chose. I've included for the commission's information, and it's a part of the packet that's also been available to the public and the press, two loan calculators that would basically show, number one is if we require people to make a $1,000 payment towards this at the beginning, what $9,000 spread over 10 years would be, and the total interest, which would be just short of $2,100 during that time frame, or if we basically didn't require anything other than the connection charges and the construction charges up front, and basically finance the whole $10,000. That's shown on loan calculator number two, the last page of the packet, and that increases the interest cost by about another $229 or so. Those are the options that are out there. As I mentioned, there's no requirement the city do anything of this to make any payment arrangements. Everything that the city has done with regards to this project has been, in my opinion, as a good neighbor. There isn't any major windfall to the city by going out and making our system available outside the city limits. I think it's a good neighborly thing to do. There's definitely a benefit to these people that live along Lakeshore and those in Somerset Point to have the availability to tie into an excellent wastewater system. There's also some benefits potentially to Lake Charlevoix too, to make sure that at least in this area, as people connect to it, the water is taken and treated as properly as possible. So, but again, any direct benefits to the city itself are relatively small in my opinion. My recommendation is that the City Commission authorize city staff, working with our city attorney, to put in place a Somerset Point Sanitary Sewer Extension Project Reserve Payment Plan as outlined in the above memo, allowing the $10,000 cost to be spread in annual payments for up to 10 years at a 4% interest rate. And then there are obviously other options to the commission where you can, you know, tweak some of the recommendations I made on this, decide not to do it, or just, you know, maybe some other idea that I haven't thought of. So. I'd be glad to try and address any questions the commission has on this. My understanding is, and Mark can probably add more information to it because he's been to all the public information meetings and pre-construction meetings on this. All the pieces do look in place, and it sounds like the contracts have been executed and payments made and things of that nature, that they, that this does look like this is the go project on or about September 8th. And if there is going to be an opportunity to make some type of a difference, it's when the pipe goes in the first time. I see no rationale to allow somebody to enter into some type of an agreement for spreading the $10,000 6 months down the road and where they haven't hooked into it. Because they're going to be going through all the same issues, creating all the disruptions and all the things we're trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. So if they sincerely want to hook up at this point, mm-hmm. and if money is an issue, I think this is another step of multiple that the city of Boyne City has done to be the good neighbor and be the responsible mm-hmm. party here. Mm-hmm. I think we've gone above and beyond. So anyway, enough of my summary for a sermon.
Thank you, Mike. Mark, do you want to add anything to Mike's comments?
Just real quick, yeah, they are supposed to, their plan right now is to start boring the sewer line down on September 8th. And they wanted to know by September 8th who wanted to hook up at this point, because as they're starting in Somerset and heading towards the city, and as they went by each individual's house, it would be easier at that time. They'd have the equipment there, they could dewater, shore everything up, and make mm. this connection right at that time. So that's why they want to know by September 8th, because they plan on moving pretty steadily down the highway through the fall.
Question in regards to, you know, future hookup. Is there some kind of a conduit there that will go with each household?
No.
Or pre-installed?
There is not. Mm-hmm. It's just the pipe's just going to go by. So if they don't hook up now, then they will have to, at a later date, bring a contractor in, block off part of the road, have it dug up, dewatered. And so that's why there's going to be an additional mm-hmm. cost to the homeowner if they wait.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark. Any additional comments from department heads or staff? Okay, citizens' comments. Do we have any homeowners that wish to comment? Yes, sir. Please identify yourself.
Mark Fouget. I'm really not here for you, but question, being a former building contractor, if you don't put in a tap for the property at the time, wouldn't it be easier just to put a tap in there?
It would.
And second question is, if people don't, if they, I assume they're on septic systems, and if it fails, are the health department going to require that they hook up to the sewer if it's available?
The gentleman from the health department was at the last public meeting, and he said at that time that if there's a lot of places out there that may not be able to redo their septic tanks because of the topography out there, and if they couldn't do their drain fields, they would be required to hook up.
They'd be forced to.
Yes.
But it seems like it would be easier to have the tap in there.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to get people to sign up for and pay for that tap fee.
Right, but if they didn't, I mean, I don't know how much the tap, while you're doing it, to put the tap in there so it is available someday. Because I'm sure those systems are going to fail. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, and you will have to. And mm-hmm. it seems like it would be cheaper down the line for the homeowner
to do it now.
To do it now. Or, yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Mike?
Yeah, I think it all boils down to as a matter of cost. I think it was looked at the possibility of putting taps at each lot with regards to it, and who's going to pick up the cost. We're not interested in picking up the cost. There's no benefit for us to doing so. The township hasn't stepped forward to say that they're going to pick up the cost for their residents. The developer doesn't want to pick up the cost because there's additional cost for him to do that. He's already bearing about a $2 million project, if I believe the cost is right, and hoping to get some reimbursement. So it all comes down to the money. And I guess if the commission follows through with the action that I'm recommending today, it makes it a little bit easier for people to benefit themselves, save themselves multiple thousands of dollars potentially, and have that option in the future. It's whether they want to spend the money now, pay me now or pay me later, as Mr. Goodrich used to say.
But they're really not forced into putting the tap right now.
Excuse me, sir. This gentleman had his hand up.
Yeah.
Would you please identify
yourself? My name is Jim Jarvis. I live down on the water. They're right on the water.
Okay.
Is it possible just to pay for the lateral and run it to the lot line and then it's there and then pay the other fees later?
Mark, do you have an answer for that?
I think part of that was the $1,800 for the tap fee, and it was going to be about $3,000 to $5,000 for the contractor to run the lateral. And then the $10,000 was just what they're gonna make the payments on. Yeah, because you won't have to put it, because then it's gonna be another $15,000 to $20,000 or so, because each home is also actually gonna have to put in a grinder pump, because it's a pressurized system, so they're gonna have to have an E1 grinder pump or some similar type to pump it into the system. So that's what the first portion is. Yeah, you can pay the $1,800 tap-in fee plus then whatever the contractor charges you plus the $10,000.
So you gotta pay the $10,000 right away too.
You can't just run
the ladder to the lot line and pay the $10,000 when you want to hook on in a year, two, 3 years from now?
No, that's what the payments part schedule is for, is the $10,000 right now up front.
Again, communication should be going through the mayor, please.
Thank you. Anything additional, sir?
No, I just didn't know why you had to, if a person wanted to pay for running the ladder, and why you'd have to pay for the $10,000 until you hooked onto it. But,
very good.
You know.
I'm Robin Berry. I'm responding to this. Stand up too quick. To the same question. This has been a short timeline to let the residents know about this kind of an opportunity, which is wonderful, but there hasn't been a lot of public discussion from the perspective of the residents on how to come up with that kind of funding to do this. Now we've got about a 1 week, 10-day notice. Well, we've been talking about this all summer. But tap fee, $1,800 seems completely reasonable. A $3,000 to $5,000 fee to have a lot of that work done also seems reasonable. $10,000, I think, has been as a reserve fee, has been something that's been in discussion for quite a long time. That if indeed the residents are able to take advantage of this opportunity, now we're looking at a serious amount of money to come up with in a very short period of time. Even though the $10,000 would be placed on a 10-year loan scenario, a lot of people are still having a difficulty with the $3,000 to $5,000 fee that it's going to take to get this tap placed in. There are a lot of these landowners that, as far as I've been understanding at these meetings, have complicated, multiple different kinds of complications in their property to be able to do this. It's going to take each of these property owners different timelines to be able to sign in. And so I'm once again requesting that reconsidering that tap in, the reserve fee, to have that start at the time when you were actually tapped in and sewer is running through this process. I can't quite understand how this $550,000 of a reserve fee coming to the city is not an issue. It seems that the city would be interested in having that kind of money available, but to be able to do it where it's reasonable for the landowners is what I hear and what I also would be requesting. So that's my only point.
Thank you, Robin. Wayne?
Yeah. I'm Vic Miller.
Go ahead, sir. Please identify yourself.
I'm Vic Miller. I live on Lakeshore. I testified last meeting. And first, I want to thank you folks for considering our situation and come up with a proposal. Like Robin's made my points pretty well. I am one of those persons who have a horrible situation because I have it all terraced in front with footings. And I have no idea where and how that might go, you know, the line. It's all squared. This is something that makes it possible for me to consider it. And since my neighbor's going to have an engineer come down next week, I'm going to sit and maybe I can find out. But this is not the way I normally, you know, operate. You know, this is a $25,000 investment that I'm going to have to, you know, make. And if you consider the total cost of it, on very short notice, and it's not the way I would do business. But thank you for as far as you got.
Thank you, sir. Roger?
Roger Perot, and I'm on Lakeshore, and I just want to echo all of the same things. It's just that the timing is unbelievable and shocking, the number. And again, this is very generous, the offer to give us a loan. But I'm really curious as to how the city can justify the need for all these residents to come up with your insurance policy or whatever you want to call it, your reserve fund. And also, when we're looking at the reserve fund, everything I'm hearing here is that if you only get 15% of the residents to hook up, the amount of reserve is minimal. Is that the reason that you're asking such a large amount? Because you know that you're not going to get to $550,000? And that's not a loaded question, I hope, but that's, you're not going to get that reserve. Am I correct, Mr. Mayor?
No, I think in time, but this is looking over a timeline of several years. And basically, my understanding, the purpose of the reserve is to offset the percentage of capacity that the this whole project, when built out, what it's actually, you know, so it's on par with their other agreements, like with Boeing USA, and what's the actual, you know, cost to build this plant. You know, it's all factored. No, but you're going to be taking up, I believe, somewhere around 5% of the capacity. And 5%, that's where these numbers are, the equations come from. It's basically buying part of the plant that's already there and getting a fair return, you know, at least reasonable as far as what it cost us to provide that plant to you.
Well, I'm certainly in agreement with the stewardship. I mean, this is it's a plus-plus, really is. It's just the timing is like instant. There's no preparation. We're in the process of trying to sell our house, but that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. It's still a stewardship thing. I just think that the funding is strange, because if you only get 15 or 20% of the residents buying in, I'm hearing so many people say they don't want to do it. And there's going to be figures down the road. That's the issue. And I don't know his name, but he brought up the fact that they're not going to put the taps in. I mean, what would be the expense to put the taps in? What is it, 57 units, houses on that street, besides Somerset? Mm-hmm. And what would be the expense for that anyway? So that's better stewardship. I rest my case.
I may just add one more thing.
Yes, sir. Once again, please restate your name again, sir.
Vic Miller. This is $10,000 per, okay? And as I understand, the total development in Somerset is 100 units. That's $1 million that will be coming into the system from Somerset. So that's $450,000 above and beyond what the city will keep to return to the developer. Right. Every payment we make will not go into the city's monies, will go to the developer. And so I'm not really feeling too sorry for him, because if you count up how much money he's going to make first from this $450,000 plus what we're going to pay, he's not paying $2 million for a sewer. He's paying closer to, you know, less than $500,000 quarter.
Mike?
Well, one, this has been a long process. We've been having this discussion since 2007 with regards to extending the sewer system. And there are costs associated with them. And you know, as my role as city manager, I have to look at what's responsible for our region, but ultimately what's the best for the city of Boyne City, and what's reasonable with regards to it. There are some huge expenses that are being put this system in. This system was the system that was chosen or preferred by many residents in the township versus another alternate that the developer proposed. To now come and then complain about covering the cost of that system seems a little interesting to me whatsoever, especially given the circumstance that nobody's required to do anything at this point. Nobody's required to make any payment, then they just have to deal with it on their own at the time of their choosing, or when their system fails and they have to deal with the health department. This project is going in. The contracts have been signed. The question before us today is, do we want to give some relief or give another option with regards to people out there? If they want to pay the whole thing up front, fine. If they want to take advantage of this plan so that the commission be kind enough to give it to them, fine. If they choose not to do anything and go on with their lives and save money for another day, which hopefully they would if they were on septic systems, that's fine as well too. So I don't want to get too distracted here with redesigning the system, putting additional costs on somebody else that they don't want to have to pay up front, those discussions have been settled with regards to how the breakdown's going to take place. It's gone through this process, a very open process here at the City of Boyne City. I think the township has had a very open process for them out there with regards to it as well, too. And I just, in all good conscience, I can't, you know, I think we, I'm stretching to make this recommendation to the commission now. And, you know, whether the people pay now or later, you know, I guess ultimately that's up to them.
I'd just like to go on record to say that that was an unjust statement, that he stated that this has been going on since 2007, and we as residents have known about it for 3 weeks. So that's not a fair statement.
Okay. Hey, Robin?
Robin Derry again. With all due respect to the city and Michael Caine and all the effort that have gone into putting this situation together in 2007, the public was completely believing that this process was already happening, and that was not the case. It's only been 1 year that we brought the city back into this picture, less than a year now. We encouraged Mr. Taylor to come back to the negotiating table in September last year, and it has moved along pretty swiftly. It has not been completely open to the public for discussion, and the only contest I'm hearing from any of the residents right now is not about the cost of the project, and they feel very fortunate to be able to have that opportunity. The only consideration that these people are asking for is that $10,000 reserve fee be moved to the date of connection rather than the date of the tapping fee. A lot of residents would be willing and able to tap in and pay those fees. They're under $4,000, under $5,000. That's a very doable scenario, which is a great opportunity for residents, for the city, and for the lake. The issue continues to be about this reserve fee, which is about functionality of that process no matter what. Once the sewer is accepting this sewage, it seems an appropriate time to apply that $10,000 fee, including its opportunity as a loan spaced over 10 years. So this isn't about being ingratuitous about this opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity. A lot of citizens work very hard to encourage this opportunity. Again, we're very grateful that the city's renegotiated, understand the costs of all of that. The issue at this point is that reserve fee, if we tap in, it doesn't really come into play until the sewage is moving into that line. And would you please reconsider allowing that $10,000 fee to be added once the sewer line is completely engaged? And that's all.
Thank you, Robin. Do we have anyone else in the audience that hasn't had a chance to speak, would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mike Schmidt, I'm at 4188. When you're talking about 55 people, does that include the people at Somerset that are going to tie in at 10 grand, or is that just the people between Somerset and Boyne City? Because initially, the people that are there at Somerset right now are going to tap in immediately. I mean, they're going to be forced to, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, and they're paying $10,000. Is that part of this 55? Or is this 55 reserved for only people between Somerset and Boyne City?
It's, my understanding is for everybody involved.
So if there's, I don't know how many units are at Somerset right now.
If I may give you the numbers they gave out at the meeting in terms of the total housing connection, they gave out a total of 187 potential connections, including 27 within the city. Of the balance, 100 are at Somerset Point, and what they gave was 61, I believe, possible connections outside of Somerset in the township, 49 existing and 12 possible. In other words, that's what they gave out then. I don't know.
Thank you.
So isn't Somerset going to essentially use up these 55? Instantly?
Mike?
I can't answer that. I don't believe so.
Well, how many units at Somerset are there that are going to hook up instantly? I mean, they don't have a choice. They're not going to be they don't have a current septic system, or they do, but I believe they're going to be required to hook up immediately. If I'm understanding it correctly. And how many buildings are there now? How many units? Okay.
There's approximately 20, 22 condos, I think, that are finished right now.
Okay.
And they have a...
Okay. We're kind of...
They have to stop at 46 or 61.
We're kind of getting away from the purpose of our discussion here is to reserve fee payments, and I think at this time we're going to move to the commission for discussion, and you know, it's, I don't have a handle on the numbers myself as far as how many, you know, in each location, but we know the total build out is going to use 5% capacity of our plant, so that's the purpose of the reserve fee, if I understand it correct. Is that right, Miles?
Correct. To compensate for the uses of the plant and for the future maintenance of the line that'll be installed and the pump station that'll be out to run the system.
By law, we can't charge any more than what's a fair amount based on the actual cost of that plant and the cost of, you know, for...
That's my understanding. Correct.
Right. So we're capped. It may sound like an egregious figure, $500,000 come back to the city, but that's prorated based on our actual cost of building the thing. So this time we're going to move to the board for discussion. Tom, would you like to weigh in on this, please?
Well, here's a scenario that may put something in perspective. If you're on a complicated lot, such as a lot of those properties are because they're up on the hill, and you did not have an opportunity to tie into the sewer and your septic system did go bad, you're going to have to pay $10,000 up front to a contractor, put a new, and not over a 10-year period, but you're going to have to pay the excavator and the contractor to put something in, and it's not going to be over a 10-year period. So I think that's a very realistic scenario where you pay into the city for the opportunity over 10 years, or if your system fails, you have to come up with at least that much on a complicated piece of property, and a lot of those are. So I just feel that we're pretty justified here, and as Mike said, we're trying to be a good neighbor to maybe some of the responsibilities that the township should have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I do want one clarification. The difference between if you're in those 25 homes that are in the city limits, I know we've discussed this, but are they also paying the $10,000?
No, they are not.
Okay, because they're in the city limits.
That is correct, and we have had assessments in the back which charged all city residents for improvements to our sewer system.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is, I mean, when my septic system went out, I needed $8,000 up front, right? And I live right in town. In fact, I live in town and I'm not on city sewer, but I had to come up with that cash right away. I didn't have a 10-year opportunity to pay it off. So, I'll rest there and hear other comments.
Gene?
Yeah, thanks. I guess my take on this is this gives the property owners another option, and they still have the choice where they want to hook up, when they want to hook up. So I guess that's going to be your choice. That's all I have.
Derek?
Thanks, Mayor. The question on the, it's not directly related to the gentleman that said, will the Somerset count for the 55? But after the 55, what is no longer available? The loan process?
Correct.
Okay, so after...
As part of my recommendation, yes.
Okay, so once the 56th person to hook up, they don't get the loan. It's a straight $10,000 up front. I just want a clarification.
Yes, there's two criteria. One is the 55, and the other one is the date. Those would both be limiting factors as to when people could apply or if they'd be able to apply for this.
And are we going to, if approved as recommended, are we going to require the $1,000 deposit? Or are we going to say your first payment is due within 12 months?
I provided both those options for the commission to look at. The recommendation as I presented was for the option number two, which basically did not require the $1,000 upfront.
Okay.
Which I'm okay with that. Again, like in our last meeting, the old saying is starting to creep in my head that no good deed goes unpunished. And I understand, you know, we're never going to please everybody for every reason, and there will always be somebody upset. The city didn't have to do this at all. We could have told someone, said, you're going to have to figure it out and how to deal with your own sewage and everybody else along the way. Would do the same thing as well. There was some commentary at the last meeting, and I want to commend Mike and the staff for sitting down and discussing with their corresponding attorneys on some sort of option that wasn't there prior to the last meeting. So I think we have responded in this manner. And, you know, as far as when the $10,000 should and shouldn't be paid, you know, I think that the prior discussions and information that has been garnered by both the city and the developer have led to that recommendation. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm in favor of moving forward with the option for the property owners to finance it. I do have one final question on the 4% interest. I just want to make sure that that's within proper guidelines, that is not exceeding anything that would mandate that we could not charge 4%.
That's correct. That specific number has been discussed with our city attorney.
Okay.
I'm trying to recall if that was the same number we used with the Main Street loans to ourselves a few years ago.
I think that might have been 4.75 even.
Okay. Or four. Something in that range.
So even less percentage than we charge ourselves. I mean,
again, I didn't look that number up, so I'm not exactly sure on it, but I defer to city.
But it's definitely not exceeding any.
Correct. Real.
Okay. I just want to get that clarified on the record as well. I don't have anything else for you.
Thank you. All right.
I'm sympathetic to all of you. I understand it's a large amount of money to think about and come up with in a short time frame, but mm-hmm. it's also an available way of being able to do that in connection in the future. I think it's probably more amiable than having to come up with all of it at once up front, that's for sure. A question I would have, though, is the 4% interest, is that fixed for over the lifetime of 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. So if the interest rate should suddenly go to 6 or 7 or 8%, we're still at the 4% interest rate.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what's proposed.
So that's an advantage.
I mean, the commission can change that if they wanted to make an adjustable rate or something like that.
All right. Yeah, there is a rumor that interest rates are going to start going up, and we'll see.
Watching that closely.
You know, another 10 years from now, maybe totally a different picture. So, my other question was, can this amount be put on a charge card once our charge card system is up and running? Like, can they charge this amount?
I don't know why they couldn't. The fees. The fees that they would have to pay would be
part of that. Part of so that. It could be then put on a charge card rather than paying that amount once a year up front on this loan. It's
once
possible.
Our system is available, we're supposed to be able to receive
almost anything, right?
Yes.
Right. So that might be another way that would ease the pain of the money, right?
That fee would be passed on, excuse me.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
Go ahead. Explanation, I'll ask in you.
The fee would be passed on. The credit card fees, the usage
right.
fees would be
It would be
on.
More.
It could be significant.
It could be significant.
We'd have to think it through.
But But that would be a way to, if at the time it was due, they wanted to postpone it for a month, that would be a way to do it. Okay, I think that's pretty much all the comments and questions I have. You may have all caught that Tom also said, you know, he's on septic and he lives right down the street from me, so he's in the city limits, so it's not everybody's on city sewer, so. Yeah. Okay. That's all I have, I guess.
Okay. I wholeheartedly support our city manager's recommendation that he's presented to us, and it's unfortunate the timelines don't fit everybody's schedule, but our job is to be good stewards of our assets, and we this is again the a dollar amount, the $550,000. It may take 10, 15 years before we have all that collected, but it's there's a platform in place to do it. And at this time, I don't see anything that's that's better than this. And I fully support the city manager's recommendations. So. I will make a motion that the city commission authorize city staff working with the city attorney to put in place the Somerset Point Cemetery Extension Project Reserve Payment Plan as outlined, allowing the $10,000 cost to be spread in annual payments for up to 10 years at the 4% annual interest rate. I'll ask for a second.
Second.
Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gator?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business is the Division Street lift station pump. Mark?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, the pump station at Division's corner of Division Street and Front Street down there, the number one pump we got evaluated, it's running at about half capacity. And so I've got a quote, I looked at it, got Keen pumps in there, and that was my recommendation, we go with Keen pump as a replacement. We looked at rebuilding it, but the parts, they didn't have parts for that pump anymore. And it went directly to the manufacturer, so we can get it for $500 less than going through the middleman than what we paid last time for that pump. My recommendation, the city commission would authorize the city manager to sign the purchase order in the amount of $1,948 for the new pump. And we do have money in the maintenance budget for it. Or any other options there, deny their request, postpone it, or other considerations.
Thank you, Mark. Any additional comments from department heads or staff? Citizens' comments. Okay, board discussion. Gene, would you like to start, please?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank Mark for going directly to Keen Pump to get that savings.
Mm-hmm.
The pump needs replaced. $500 savings is a plus. I support the recommendation.
Derek?
Thanks. I'll echo Commissioner Towns' comments. Absolutely, it's a needed item. And approve the recommendation for at the.
Laura?
Yeah, I'm also in support of replacing anything that needs replacing, obviously. But how long has it been running at half capacity, if I may ask, Mark? Question?
It's hard to tell. It looks like it's been running like that for a little while, a year or so. So it runs a little bit longer than the other one. And we had the MDRAWs checked and everything. So it's.
Okay. I just wonder if it was something that suddenly happened or if it's been ongoing. Okay, thank you.
Tom?
I'm in full support.
I'm also in full support. I ask for a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration to purchase a Keen pump to replace the existing pump at the lift station at the corner of Division and Front Streets from Keen in the amount of $1,948 and authorize the city manager to execute the document.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Stansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Brunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business, the archery event, park request. Andy?
Thank you, Mayor. We were approached by Bill Coon, who is a former member of the Parks and Recreation Commission, to host an archery event at an archery range here at Avalanche Park. He also has been involved with a company called G5 Archery, who may have a few other entities interested in providing some things for this as well. Attached my memorandum, there are some informational things here. Proposed flyer for the shoot, Mr. Coon's letter to me, and also Parks use for typically, events like this start out small and build up over a course of a few years, and I think this is one that will do that. There's currently no other, to my knowledge, no other archery events held in Northern Michigan, so I think this would be a good opportunity for Boeing City to get on the ground floor and hopefully in the near future host a larger event that would draw more people into to town. So the Parks and Recreation Commission has heard this proposal also in their full support. That'd be my recommendation that we first year for sure.
Thank you, Andy. Any additional comments from department heads or staff? Mike?
I think Andy's on point with his recommendation.
Thank you. Okay. Citizens' comments. Okay, we'll move to the board for discussion. Laura, would you like to start, please?
Yeah. I'm feeling very good about this event. I think it'll be nice for the community and great for Northern Michigan. And knowing Bill, I think I feel confident he's put it together very well. Not too concerned about that. I guess my only question is, when we get the new targets, did we get a Wolverine? You don't recall, you don't want to say.
You're here.
I was just curious, because I never heard of you went ahead and got that. I think you did, but I personally don't know, so you might want to hide the Wolverine. That's all.
No, this is very cool. It's another event at Avalanche, another event in our city. It's to make just a special place to be. Very much in support.
Jane?
Yeah, I believe we should use all our parts as much as possible. They could draw people there, yeah. I support the recommendation.
Derek?
Thanks, Mayor. I appreciate Bill Kuhn and everybody else that worked to put this together. Mm-hmm. And I agree wholeheartedly. I think this is the type of event when you get a manufacturer like G5 involved and they see the area and what we have to offer, it is absolutely right for this type of event. And I foresee it continuing to grow. And, you know, obviously not everybody in town is into hunting or bow hunting in particular, whatever. But I'm sure everybody that's involved in an event like this, fellow hunters, respect that. However, I think it's important that we continue to offer events like this and show our diversity with what we have available. Mm-hmm. And again, it's another way to show Boeing City. I'm sure we'll get people in that have never been here before, and word will spread. And then, you know, I know relative of my wife shoots national competition 3D events out on the East Coast, and they're huge. Now, obviously, we were probably not attained to that level, but you know, one day it could get towards a qualifier for something like that. But point being, you start out now, like we do with the drag race, you tweak it each year and you improve and the word spreads, and the same with the Boeing Thunder. We see that going on there. So I am in absolute support of this, and that's my recommendation moving forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I also support the request and ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the Boeing Area Archery Club Novelty Shoot Event at the Avalanche Archery Range on September 26, 2015, from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
One second.
Roll call.
Towne?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Grunsch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business is community leader invite to MML conference. And Mike?
You have a memo in here from Cindy on this matter. We have four people from the three from the city commission and myself that have indicated that they are interested in going, have signed up for going to the MML convention in Traverse City this year. It's a close by conference and we're able to commute back and forth. New this year and for this conference, the Michigan Municipal League has offered it up to other community leaders as chosen by us to potentially invite here. They cannot be city employees, but they can be people that are active in our community to learn a little bit more just about how local government works. I've heard some names or positions mentioned. I've heard possibly Lori from the Main Street, which technically isn't a city position. Mm-hmm. I've heard possibly some people from the Chamber of Commerce, possibly some of our candidates that are running for the commission as well, too. And I'm fine with all those. I just think we need to make sure that if we're going to do, you know, like for candidates, we invited one, we should extend an invitation to all to make sure that we're not picking sides or things of that nature. So we have four to work with. I thought it was important that this come to the city commission and figure out to give, you know, have some discussion about what your intentions would, how you'd like to see these filled, if you'd like to see them filled, and who you'd like us to reach out to. I'm assuming whoever goes that they'd still be responsible for any food or thing of that on their own. Mm-hmm. That isn't a city employee or an existing city mm-hmm. official. Mm-hmm.
And the registration for each of us is what, $350?
I think it was like $369, somewhere in that range. Okay.
But we get one free one for each person that's...
Yeah, so we have four free registrations mm-hmm. currently. Now, if another commissioner decided to sign up, we'd have to pay the higher rate, but we'd still get another free one. So we mm-hmm. have four to work with at this point. Mm-hmm. I did talk to Lori Meter. She did express some interest if that's the direction the commission wants to go. Mm-hmm. I've heard some people mention some of the, like I said, some of the candidates, but again, if we offer it to one, I think mm-hmm. we should offer it to all of them so we're not picking sides. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're looking for some direction from the commission on how you'd like us to proceed or if not.
Well, the two in my mind right offhand is our chamber director, Jim Bowman, and Lori, our Main Street director. So those are two key positions.
If I may?
Sure.
I did contact Jim, and as many of you may know, Jim is looking to phase himself out of the chamber the next year. So I think you know, he might recommend that we talk to him. It looks like they're leaning towards his assistant mm-hmm. being the new chamber yeah. director. Maybe she'd be a person with mm-hmm. more long-term. He seemed to kind of, when I mm-hmm. asked him if he might even be available, he kind of demurred on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tom, do you have a choice?
I would go with that recommendation with our Main Street director and chamber personnel. And I am going, so there's three other candidates, correct?
Yeah.
So
how about Mr. Grove and Mr. Dow?
They're eligible too. Neither of them are city residents or deal directly right. with this, or in the city.
Thanks.
Jane, you got it.
Well, one of my first thoughts when I read this was Lori Meter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Derek?
Thanks. I definitely recommend we keep it within the city limits. Mm-hmm. Part of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Laura is a good choice.
Well, they both Mr. Dow and Mr. Mm-hmm. Grove are taxpayers of this city, so.
But by definition, they're not voters.
True.
Right. Yeah, that's nothing to take away from their involvement in what they do or right. investment, mm-hmm. absolutely not. I'm just. Yeah, I think it would be appropriate, and with what Mike said as far as the Chamber of Commerce may be offered to the potential replacement, be involved with it. We don't have to have four people, it's just up to.
Correct.
I'm fine with those two. Unless there's somebody from a business group or...
Team Boyne?
Yeah, Team Boyne maybe, bring somebody, rep from Team Boyne with, yeah. Yeah, we could add somebody from Team Boyne rep, and they could pick whoever representative they want as a group. I think that'd be appropriate, yeah.
Laura?
Yeah, I had suggested one of the two that have already been mentioned. I'm thinking like somebody from your, and I'm not familiar with everybody on your Team Boyne group, but maybe somebody at a Team Boyne or someone at one of the other service clubs or organizations that are active in, or from the Main Street Board or the library or, you know. There's a bunch of other individuals that, I don't want to just stay, you know, keep mentioning names, but maybe what we need to do is think about that and then just pass the information along to Mike or Cindy and see, yeah. Mike?
So would everybody be comfortable if we give Mike the discretion to
pick a couple,
ask these people and then get back to us with an email or keep us informed if he comes up with somebody different we've already talked about?
Or the mayor. Again, you know.
One of the things that might be helpful is we've got the media here, let them know that we're looking for people that are interested and have them say
sure.
why they would be interested in going. And, you
know, yeah, that's
a good
idea.
They turn something into Cindy and we could share that with the city commission and say, hey, we've got these people that are interested and say,
sure.
why do they want to go?
Or put it on our website.
Well, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
get
just
the word,
put the word out,
out there.
Sure.
And let, and instead of us just trying to think
yeah,
of who might
right,
be appropriate
right.
people,
yeah.
maybe they can self-nominate if they are interested in local government
sure.
and tell us why.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
Good idea.
I like that idea.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks in advance.
Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Tina. Okay, go to the order. Tom?
Just a question, has the Parks and Rec come up with a committee yet on the playground? Will that be at your September meeting?
I hope to have some names for them at the September meeting.
Thank you.
First Thursday.
Anything else, Tom? Gene?
Yeah, I just have one thing. I went to the Relay of Life for the cancer benefit down at the city park. That went quite well, I thought. I was there for both days. Shelley Reed, one of the coordinators from East Jordan, gave out a lot of thanks to the people that donated. And one of the thanks I'm going to relay to you guys is for the city, letting them do it there. It gave them a lot of good exposure. The last I had heard, they raised like $22,000.
Oh, wow. Good.
Wow.
The only other thing, it's not a bad thing, but I was kind of hopes that they would have been a few more people there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Derek?
Thanks. The only thing I'm following closely and keeping track of, and Mike kind of touched on in the city manager comments, is the Division Street drainage project. You know, hopefully we don't continue to hear that the water level's too high, and next thing you know, we're into cold weather where it's too cold. So I'd like to make sure that engineering's in place. And do we have a final cost on the under street boring?
No, we haven't received quotes on that yet.
Okay, when do we anticipate to have those?
Oh, I'd have to double, I don't know if
Andy?
Yeah.
We have engineering drawings from C2AE to go ahead and get the bids out for that.
Yep.
He's more than willing to contact a few of the boring contractors.
Okay.
Make that happen for us. And I've also spoken today with Tri-County Excavating because we're, as Mike kind of alluded to, I'm having some concerns about the depth we're going to be at so close to the road and the fact that we're hitting groundwater at 7 feet right by that driveway to between Litzenberger and Deer Meadows, there's one of the catch basins there. So I asked him to give me his availability to come in and do some digging for us. He has steel plates he can use for shoring in that area. But two things I don't want to happen is one, the road to come in.
Sure.
Then two, someone get hurt in an excavation hole because we can't get wide enough to make a safe excavation. So he's going to be available next week, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, to come in and do that digging for us and get it shored up.
Okay.
And we can leave that shoring in place until we're done. That's where we're at with that. So I was going to talk with Mike here this afternoon.
Okay.
Time before we need to get his approval to go ahead and proceed with having Larry get the pricing. See if we can get the pricing for the front or in the vendor.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you, Pam.
Laura?
Yeah, that was another similar question I had, as if it's still on schedule to start around September the 1st. Is what we had said last meeting, so. And that's about all. The other thing I might mention is my neighbor passed away on Saturday, Ruth Evans, and I think maybe a lot of people do or did know her and the family, so. That's about all.
In regards to the Division Street, there was a comment, I don't know if it was online or email, but the parts are ordered to open those mains.
No, I need to
did
order...
Did they come in yet?
No, I need to order the extension rings for the manholes. We took them out the top barrel sections. Until I can get elevation down to where that existing bottom section is, I can't order it.
Oh, okay.
I need to get those... Mm-hmm. Holes opened up in the elevation that can order the detection barrels and the tops and the structure, so I know how much room I got to make.
That's something you can get in a week or 10 days?
We'll be getting that information next week when Tri-County comes in and does the digging on the other two of them. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the ground situation.
Okay. Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
Anything else additional for good of the order? Okay, we'll move to announcements. The celebration to open and dedicate the Permanent Historical Interpretive Center in Boyne City's 1910 Waterworks Building will be at 4 o'clock Wednesday, August 26, 2015, at the 1910 building on Division Street. The annual Labor Day drag races will be on Sunday, September 6th at the Boyne City Airport, 1048 East Main Street, from noon to 5 o'clock. City offices will be closed Monday, September 7th, 2015, in observance of Labor Day. The next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 8th, 2015, at 7 o'clock. And it's approximately 2 o'clock. I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Gaylord.
Aye.
Crunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Towns.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Aye.